Well, sure is good to see you this morning. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to let you go ahead and begin to turn to the book of John, chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 23 through 33, we're going to read this morning together. And the entitlement of this message is Because He Lives. Because He Lives. And as you're finding your place there in the reading of the Word of God, if you don't have Scripture with you, it'll be on the screen for you this morning. But a couple of things that I just want to announce and put out there for you is Sunday, May the 7th. Sunday, May the 7th, Ms. Christy Johnson and I got together and talked this week. We're going to be hosting a dinner after the Sunday morning service on the 7th. And that is going to be to kind of thank and recognize all those who have served and volunteered and worked as leaders for the Awanas program. And we just could not do Awanas without all the leaders and all the volunteers that we have. So here's what we need from you. We want you to come and fellowship with us. We're going to provide, I guess, the barbecue. Is that what we've decided on? We're going to provide the barbecue, but we're asking if you would to please bring a side dish, okay? Just bring some type of side dish. You can bring it to the FLC that morning prior to the service, come up here, and then after service, we'll dismiss and proceed down there. So I just encourage you to do that. We're going to have a sign-up sheet starting next week if we don't already have one today. But starting next week, we will have a sign-up sheet for that. You can just sign up what you're going to bring or would like to bring, and then that'll kind of give us an idea about who's bringing what, and we don't want to have too much of one thing. But we'll be doing that Sunday, May the 7th, and we'll probably cancel our evening service that day, okay? That way you can come and fellowship and not have to worry about getting back home and then being back here by 6 o'clock. So Sunday, May the 7th, we're going to be having that dinner for our Awanas volunteers and leaders just in recognition to them. But you come and fellowship with us and help make that possible. The other thing that I would love to announce is if you remember this last Sunday morning, I asked you to please be in prayer about a very important meeting that I had on Monday. And I just am so happy to let you all know that I'm going to be the next police officer for Transylvania University. And we'll be moving into a new job. Amen. Amen. That's something that if you're a visitor and haven't been here before, you may not know the importance of that, but for an extended period of time, we've been praying that God would just open up a new door for me with a full-time job and being able to actually step into a part-time role and provide more time for me to be able to serve here in the church. And probably the greatest announcement that I have this morning is that my wife, Heather, she's here with us this morning. She had surgery on Wednesday. She had surgery on Wednesday and was in the hospital for a few days, but got to come home, and we're just so glad that the stent that they put in is working great and doing its job, and it was so much better than the last time they tried that procedure. It was just a nightmare the last time around. So God's blessings are great. Amen. Amen. God is good. And the reason that God is so good and the reason that God's blessings are so great is because He lives. Amen. It's because He lives. You know, on Friday, on Good Friday, we celebrated, you know, that day. And I don't even know sometimes if everybody really fully understands what Good Friday really means and what it represents. But Good Friday is a day that Jesus Christ ultimately died on the cross. And the three-day intermission period today is the day that we celebrate His resurrection and what it means. And why is the resurrection so important? Well, by the time this message is over, you're going to see that believing in the resurrection is key to your salvation. You know, it is a key part. It says that if thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and that God hath raised Him from the dead. So it's essential that as Christians, as followers of Christ, that we believe in our heart that not only that Jesus died, but that He rose again. And because He rose again, everything that we're going to talk about this morning was made possible. You see, if Jesus would have just died on the cross and that was the end, and He was just placed in a tomb and His bones and His body just died and remained there forever, we wouldn't have all of the hope and all of the glory and all of the things that we have in Him. We wouldn't have this religion as we know it today. 1 in 3 people in the world today recognize themselves to be a follower of Christ. Why? Because He lives. I am saved today. Why? Because He lives. If you're here and you say that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why and how? Because He lives. Because He's not dead. Stand with me if you would as we read John chapter 12. John chapter 12 verses 23 through 33. This was actually an event that took place on Palm Sunday, leading up to the death of Jesus, so it's kind of like we're doing a flashback, so to speak. But here's what it says in John chapter 12, starting in the 23rd verse. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whosoever loves his life loses it. And whosoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servants be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And he said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Let's pray, and you may be seated. Father God, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to be here. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much that you were willing to come and die on a cross that we might go free. Lord, for it's by your death on the cross that we have the remission of our sins. Lord, by the death on the cross, you shed your blood so that my blood would not have to be shed. You were the sacrifice of all sacrifices, the perfect, innocent sacrifice that was needed so that all the world might go free. And Lord, just as you told them there as they were listening, it was your purpose for which you came, that you might be lifted up and that you would draw all people unto you. Well, Lord, I'm thankful today, not just that you died for me, but that you lived. Lord, that on the third day you rose again. Because by your raising from the grave, by your coming forth from the tomb, Lord, you made all things truly possible. An overcomer of death. Lord, Father God, I just pray if there's somebody here today who has never known you in the free pardon of sin, I can think of no better day for them to come forward and give their heart and their life to you than right now. Father, Lord, I pray that there be nothing that would stop them, Lord. Not a question of what will somebody think or how will other people view me. Lord, I pray that nothing would enter their mind except how that they might be saved. Lord, I pray if there's a Christian here that's in need, Lord, then I pray before we leave here today that your Holy Spirit will draw them nigh, Lord, maybe unto rededication. Lord, maybe unto moving their membership. Whatever the hearts of your people might be, Lord, whatever your spirit might desire, I pray that it will happen, Lord. Father God, Lord, I pray that you just use me today as a mouthpiece and as a tool. And nothing more for your honor and for your glory. Because it's all about you and what you choose to do through me. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will come and just speak this message exactly as it needs to be spoken. That you preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world. Father God, again, I just can't pray enough. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, Lord, send these words out to prick their heart, to draw them nigh to salvation, that today they might be saved. Lord, Father, we pray it all and we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Because he lives. You see, Jesus died, and here in these verses that we read, Jesus is kind of illustrating yet again to his followers, but also to a group of Greek men who had came to see Jesus at this time. He was speaking to them and he says, you know, this is my hour. This is the hour for that I have come. This is that moment in time when I have come, the purpose for which that I have been born. And you know, he makes this illustration in verse 24, and I'd like to read that for you again. It's kind of an interesting illustration, speaking about the death and the resurrection. He says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." You know, if you're a farmer, if you ever grew up on a farm, if you ever had a garden, if you ever planted a flower, you know that when you stick that seed in the ground, that is ultimately the death of that seed. It's going to die. And ultimately, when you place it in the ground and it dies, it bears forth a plant. If you plant a kernel of corn, it's going to raise up a stalk of corn. If you plant a seed of squash, it's going to grow a squash plant. If you plant the seeds forth to bring a tree, it's going to bring forth a tree. But whatever the case might be, unless that seed goes into the ground and dies, you gain nothing. But Jesus gave this illustration to say, "I must die. For this is the hour and the purpose for which I have come, that I might die. But from my death, it will bear much fruit." And then he spoke unto his servants, and he says, you know, if you love your life here on this earth, you're going to lose it. But if you hate your life here on this earth, you will gain a life eternal. He says, you too must make that decision to die in order that you might gain life. Because Jesus died, He lived. Amen? Because He was willing to go to the cross, He could live in the glory of God to fulfill what God's will truly was. And because He lives, great things do we reap the benefits of. You know that song that they sang this morning, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us," that's probably one of my favorite Christian hymns. And I asked Jason and Diane and the praise team weeks ago if they would sing that song. There's so many powerful words in that song. Probably one of the most powerful words to that song, I believe, is probably as it references how we reap the rewards of Christ. And we do. We reap the rewards of Christ because He died, but also because He lives. The first thing I want you to see this morning that we gain because He lives is this. Because He lives, we can be free and forgiven by His death. Amen? Because He lives, we can be free and forgiven. Romans chapter 4 verses 24 and 25 say it this way. "But ours also, it will be counted to us who believe in Him who raised Him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. As another verse of the scripture says, it references Jesus as He becomes the propitiation of our sins. Meaning literally that Jesus Christ became the stand-in for our sins. It's kind of that old adage, an example I give of a stunt double. You have a very high-paid actor, and then when it gets to the rough part of the scene, the director says, "Cut." The stunt double comes in, and he takes all the hard knocks and the punches. The director says, "Cut." And the stand-in comes back in smelling like a rose. And they get all the credit for it, right? Jesus Christ loved us so much that He says, "I'm willing to take your death and literally be your sin." As the Old Testament shares and tells us, it says that literally by His stripes are we healed. The blood that He shed was for us. The stripes that He bore was for the remission of our sin. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Literally, this scripture tells us that Christ died on the cross that we might be justified in the eyes of God. That says a lot. Are you following me this morning? That because He lives, because He lives, because He died, we might be free and forgiven. The bondages and the chains of sin are no more. They're gone. Because I have Jesus in my heart. And if you say you know Jesus, you do not have to fear death anymore. Because those bondages are gone. Because Jesus has set us free. Because He was delivered for our trespasses. He was delivered for our sin. And He was raised up that we might be justified. Because He lives. You see, if Jesus would have just died on the cross, it would have all ended there. How could we have no fear of death anymore if Jesus Himself had not raised up out of the tomb? You ever ask yourself that? You know, believe it or not, I can't believe this, but believe it or not, there are certain denominations in Christian faith and some preachers who do not feel that the resurrection of Christ was really essential. There are some who will tell you that Christ may or may not have figuratively raised up out of the tomb. Well, I want to tell you something. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, and on the third day, He rose again. Because He lives. Because He lives, I can be free and forgiven. But not only that, because He lives, Jesus defeated death. Because He lives, Jesus defeated death, so we do not have to fear it. If I die today, I know that I'm going to heaven. If you die today, where would you spend eternity? That's just a real honest question. If you were called from this life today, right now, would you be in paradise and in heaven with God, in the presence of Christ? Or would you have to spend eternity in a place called hell? You see, if the answer is, I don't know, then I can promise you, you need to make things right in your heart. Because you don't have to fear death anymore. I don't have to fear death. And because of Christ, I have a certainty of knowing where I am going. Amen? I know that when I leave this body, I will be present with the Lord because Christ Jesus has died for me. And I don't have to fear it anymore. You know, there's a lot of people that say, I fear death. You know, and especially at the end of life or in battling disease, people will ultimately tell you how afraid of death that they really are. You know, I work in a job where I guess I've become a little bit more accustomed to it, but every now and again I do think about it, that I work in a dangerous job where ultimately I might go to work someday and could encounter an accident or something happen on the job where that I might die. But you know what? I have a resolve in my heart that if I die today or tomorrow or next week or 50 years from now, I don't have to be afraid of it. Amen? Because He lives. Because He lives. You see, if Jesus just died on the cross and that was the end of it, I would still fear death. But by His resurrection, it was complete. And because Christ lives and overcame death, I know that I too have no fear of death and that I can overcome as Christ overcame. Now, I'm not saying I want to die next week. Don't get me wrong. Amen. I want to live a long and productive life. But I don't fear death anymore. Maybe you're here and you do, or maybe you're here and you're uncertain about death, or don't necessarily know the full entailment of what it means, but I know this, because He lives, He defeated death. And because He lives, you no longer have to fear it. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 16 says it this way. It says, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Here literally Peter sharing is saying, I witnessed it. You know, he says, I didn't give you a cleverly devised myth. I didn't give you some kind of a false story or a fairy tale. He says, we were eyewitnesses of the majesty of Christ. Literally, Peter here saying, I have witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. And I know what a risen Savior is all about. In Acts chapter 1 verse 3, it says it this way. It says, He presented Himself alive to them after His suffering by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. We know before Christ was ascended into heaven, I hope you remember that story, how that Jesus Christ walked for the 40 days, gathered His disciples back together, and kind of laid a final ground plan before He ascended into heaven. So ultimately, I know and believe in my heart that Christ rose again because the Scripture says that He did. Amen. The Scripture, according to Peter, says we were witness to His majesty. Here in Acts, Luke writes and tells us that He presented Himself after His suffering and was raised and walked this earth for 40 days. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8 say it this way. Paul writes to the church of Corinth and says, "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive in that day, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all of the apostles. Last of all, as to one ultimately born, He appeared to me. Because He lives, we don't have to fear death. And there's no question as to whether or not He's raised again. Here Jesus Christ appearing to His disciples, to Cephas, and ultimately to 500 at once, and then finally appearing on the road to Damascus to this man who used to be named Saul, a persecutor of the church. And God ultimately through Christ changed his life, and he became Paul, a faithful servant of God. But look at what verse 55 of this same chapter says. He says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Probably no more poignant words could be written. But Paul basically sums this up for the church at Corinth. He says, why fear death? Why fear death? Because death has no victory. Why? Because Jesus lives. Death, where is your sting? It has no sting because Jesus lives. And because Jesus lives, I don't have to fear death anymore. Because He lives, you do not have to fear death anymore. Because it has no power over you. Ultimately, we're all going to die. For the wages of sin is death. Because of man's sin in the garden, every one of us will face physical death. We're going to have to leave this world, or we'll be here when Christ comes again. Amen? One way or the other, we're not getting out alive. But death has no victory. We face a physical death, but it has no victory. We face a physical death, but it has no sting. Because